Welcome to the End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. I said last episode that we'd be starting a new series on the podcast titled, If Not Lee Harvey Oswald, Then Who Killed JFK? We will be starting that soon, but I wanted to talk about something that popped up very recently in the news. Over the last 2 weeks, I've received dozens of emails asking me about my opinion on the ABC News special titled, Truth and Lies, Who Killed JFK? The two-hour special aired on Monday, November 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. ABC promoted the special as a deep dive into the most fateful day in American history, emphasizing both the chaos of November 22nd, 1963, and the decades of speculation that followed. It also promised a deep dive into new evidence that have been uncovered with the release of the previously classified JFK assassination files. What the show delivered, however, was more the same that researchers have seen from the national media for 60 years. Researchers had hoped that the appearance of researchers like Oliver Stone and James DiEugenio would guarantee that for once, the national media might open up and admit that for decades they had been mistaken about the assassination. We should have known better. For many, it was less about finding the truth and more about revisiting why the question of who killed JFK still matters.
It was impossible to believe.
How did this happen?
It had to be something bigger.
It really was the first conspiracy theory of the modern age.
To me, it's a much bigger story than the Kennedy murder.
It is the ultimate detective story, one that will never be fully resolved.
From the very beginning, at the highest levels of government, those involved thought there might be a conspiracy.
An act of Congress and an executive order, and we're still struggling to get the last of the documents out. Why? That's a big question.
This isn't a fantasy conspiracy theory. This is, your story doesn't make sense. We want a better version.
You have to start with the how to get to the why.
It seems like it was a rush investigation that was just trying to close a case quickly rather than really get to the truth of the matter.
The U.S. government intentionally lied to the American people as to what actually happened.
Do you think it was a conspiracy or a lone gunman?
People wanted to get to the truth. They were angry because they were given a bunch of lies, and they knew it at the time.
This is all my stuff organized after 50 years of research. Let's zoom in here just a little bit.
There's absolutely no evidence that supports a shot from the grassy knoll.
The mafia, the CIA, the FBI, they all had this motive.
The thing with the John F. Kennedy assassination is that there are a lot of very real plot holes that just don't make sense.
There's something about it that still feels unsolved, even if you feel like you know who did it.
Is this mystery ever going to get solved?
Truth and Lies, Who Killed JFK?
How director and author Oliver Stone has spent more than three decades doing what the American press refuses to do, follow the evidence in the JFK case. His 1991 film, JFK, cracked open the official story, triggered the creation of the Assassinations Record Review Board, and forced the government to release mountains of hidden material. In 2021, with JFK Revisited, Stone and researcher James DiEugenio returned to the case, armed with newly released documents that mainstream newsrooms either ignored or deliberately buried. When Stone challenges the narrative, he doesn't do it from the cheap seats. He does it after reading the files the media never bothered to open. That's why this moment matters. ABC News aggressively courted Oliver Stone to appear on their Truth and Lies, Who Killed JFK news special. They promised him a fair treatment. They promised to focus on new evidence. They promised this wouldn't be a rerun of the infamous 2003 Peter Jennings ambush. And then, predictably, they broke every promise. They cut out key context, leaning on long discredited single bullet theories, platformed the same debunked voices that have been running interference for 60 years, and repackaged the Warren Commission's greatest hits for an audience they assume is too uninformed to notice. But Stone noticed, and so did many researchers. The following is Stone's response, written jointly with James DiEugenio, calling out ABC's misrepresentation editorial gamesmanship, and refusal to engage with the mountain of evidence declassified since the early 90s. This is Oliver Stone speaking plainly, and he speaks for researchers like myself, who have spent decades studying this case, interviewing witnesses, and digging through mountains of files and evidence. Before we get to the letter he sent to ABC, here's what Stone posted on Twitter, or X, this week. Stone says, "The recent ABC News special, Truth and Lies, Who Killed JFK, went to great pains to convince me to appear, along with James D. Eugenio, who I insisted would join me on the air for protection purposes, as I made the mistake of giving an interview to Peter Jennings in 2003 that was essentially cut to pieces. I figured this time they'd behave better, but they did it again, and repeatedly misrepresented who was going to be on the show, and once again, we were stuck in a ridiculous wasted argument about the single bullet theory, which is pathetically out of date, given all the new information we've accumulated and presented, covering the period from 1991, when the original JFK came out, until now, 2025. ABC repeatedly cut out any serious discussion in this complex case of any of the new evidence presented by the Assassination Records Review Board in 1994, or James D. Eugenio, in my documentary of 2021 titled JFK Revisited. Instead, they fall back repeatedly on the indefensible single bullet theory and pass this warmed over manure as their proof. This is an old, old story, with these three networks going back to 1964 with their attack on Mark Lane and defense of the Warren Report without even reading the evidence. They simply edit all dissent by not allowing counter evidence to be presented honestly. Now here's the letter Stone wrote protesting these policies to ABC senior producer Ellen Murphy. Stone writes, "Dear Mrs. Murphy, we have had the opportunity to watch the Truth and Lies special on the John F. Kennedy murder. If you recall, when we had a Zoom call with your colleague, Muriel Pearson, and again when we met in person before the show was filmed, we strongly insisted that we would not participate in any such program based on ABC's past performance in this area. That is, the 2003 Peter Jennings special on the JFK case, with which both of us had serious problems. I insisted I would only participate if the new information that's come out since 1992, because of my film and our documentary in 2021, JFK Revisited, were included. And you said you were well aware of my appearance at the House Oversight Committee's Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets hearing, which brought out much key information about the case, including the autopsy. I only agreed to do it about the current case and not the 1992 case, which was frozen back in time and gets us nowhere. For example, like the magic bullet theory, which I think we disproved quite well in various TV appearances as well as the documentary. You said more than once, Miss Murphy, that no one involved in that 2003 ABC program would be involved with this one. That ended up being not true. When it was clear the first question in our interview was about the magic bullet, I pulled out immediately from the interview, sensing a setup. I was furious, reminding you of your promise that this would be about the information now, not then. But smoothly, you managed to convince me that this was not a setup to prove the single bullet theory. Yet Warren Report defender Dale Myers was one of the featured talking heads on the Jennings special. If you recall, he actually made the absurd statement that, through the magic of his computer simulation, the single bullet theory was now the single bullet fact. If we had known that he was going to be a major talking head on his show, neither of us would have agreed to appear. It would never have gotten that far if we had known about Myers. And it is hard to comprehend that you did not know this, since the first question asked at the taping was about the single bullet theory. This again clearly suggests you were involved in setting us up to be contradicted by Myers. Simple question. Why did you not tell us up front about Dale Myers being on the program? After that, the special degenerates into a series of omissions that render this program useless to any serious person interested in the case. James and I have received dozens of notes wondering why we gave our respectability to the show you did. And now we have to engage once again, uselessly, in damage control. One day, perhaps ABC will be wise enough to deal with reality and not these lies. It makes us believe once more that there's some form of collusion between your news organization, which will not pursue any new information that's come out since 1992, and the government. Sincerely yours, Oliver Stone and James DiEugenio. A major theme of ABC's Truth and Lies, Who Killed JFK, was the idea that the reason people did not buy the Warren Commission today is that they cannot accept that a loser like Oswald could take down a great man like JFK. In other words, a lone sociopath could not do away with King Arthur and Camelot. This idea began on the 25th anniversary with CIA asset and authoress Priscilla Johnson. The other theme that was utilized was the whole blanket shroud of conspiracy theorists in relation to the case. They ignored the fact that this really began with the New York Times around 1967, when Jim Garrison began to make headlines about his inquiry into the JFK matter. The show also indulged in smears and oversimplifications of Oswald, Kennedy, and Ruby. Oswald was right out of the Warren Commission, a pure lone nut who had a chance to be a big man and took it. This character was started by Ruth and Michael Payne. It is never explained why. If this was the case, Oswald always insisted on his innocence. The same thing applies to Ruby. They claim he did it to make a mark in history. They admitted his ties to the mob, but dismissed this with the claim that everyone had them. Oh, really? And they never explained how he got into the basement of City Hall. With Kennedy, they trotted out the philandering, which was predictable. Incredibly, they never showed the 544 Camp Street document, which explains that Oswald was not a loner. They tried to present the Fair Play for Cuba Committee as a renegade outfit, despite the fact that it was spread across the Northeast and even into Florida. It was so successful that the CIA launched a counter-program against it. There was next to nothing about Kennedy's foreign policy reforms, meaning no political motive was even considered. They did mention the CIA mob plots to kill Castro, but not that Ruby had met with Trafficante, who was involved in those plots, while he was in detention in Cuba. Nor did they mention that Trafficante's casino manager, Louis McWillie, was Ruby's idol, a man he would do anything for. There was no mention of the chain of custody problem with this so-called magic bullet, CE-399. The reason they would not do this is because it would blow up Dale Myers' analysis. One could simply ask, Dale, what trajectory of the bullet are you diagramming, since it's not CE-399? They also avoided the question of which stretcher CE-399 was found on. It was not Conley's, as proven by Josiah Thompson's in 6 Seconds in Dallas. And it had to be found on Conley's stretcher, if our inspector's single bullet theory is to have any validity. There are two glaring giveaways to the scheme of the show, proof that it was a deliberate put-up job. First, they discuss the autopsy, and try to chalk it up to problems to inexperience, and a rush job due to RFK. They never deal with the military presence in the autopsy room that night that was making the calls. Second, they never talk about how the HSCA lied about the gaping hole in the rear of Kennedy's skull, which strongly indicates a shot from the front. Well, Parkland doctors saw the hole and have went on record stating so. This relates to something surprising even for them. They show the Zapruder film, and they talk about Stone's film analysis of the back and to the left motion, but they never show the part of the Zapruder film where Kennedy bounces off the rear seat in clear reaction to a front shot. By curtailing both these elements, the autopsy evidence and the key Zapruder frames, they remove any suggestions of a frontal shot. That is what Myers actually says in his special, that there is no such evidence. If you hide that evidence, you can say anything. How did they place Oswald on the 6th floor during the shooting? Through the testimony of Howard Brennan. This witness has been discredited so many times, it's almost laughable. He gave a full description of the sniper's height and weight, even though the shooter would have been in a kneeling position. Brennan refused to testify for the HSCA. He did not even want to be informally interviewed. He said that if he were summoned, he would hire a lawyer to fight it. They also said Oswald dashed down the stairs after the shooting. How did they know this? No one saw him do it, and there were several women on the same set of stairs at this time, and they saw no one. He was not out of breath when Supervisors Roy Truly and Officer Marion Baker encountered him shortly after the assassination in the lunchroom drinking a soda. They assumed the rifle was Oswald's without addressing the problems with the sling attachment. They never mentioned the fact that Oswald could not have performed the screw-on attachment on the rifle's butt. They say nothing about the fact that there is now documented proof in black and white that someone was impersonating Lee Harvey Oswald for months before the assassination in and around Dallas. One of the many witnesses was an employee of the Texas Employment Commission who interviewed both Oswalds in October of 1963. They say nothing about dozens of people that rushed up the grassy knoll immediately after the shots were fired in Dealey Plaza because they knew shots had come from there. And many of those people were met by men acting as Secret Service agents, getting everyone out of the area. The problem is, there were no Secret Service agents in Dealey Plaza until much later in the day. So who were impersonating these Secret Service agents that day on the grassy knoll? And the bigger question, why? Here's researcher and author Jefferson Morley and his comments about the recent ABC News special. He was asked to appear on the special and ended up getting about 10 seconds of airtime.
The ABC News special, which I guess ran a week ago, I just wanted to talk a little bit about it. You know, it's a strange experience to be on a show like that. They contacted me early in the fall and said that I want to come and be on a show about new JFK files. So I sure, you know, love to do that. I talked with the producer a little bit. It seemed like they were serious. And they said, you know, we don't want to do a Zoom. We want to come to your house. So that's always nice, you know, and I'm hospitable. I thought, well, come to my house. When they come to your house, you know, they really like set it up like a studio. So it looks really nice. There's really nice lighting, you know. And so I like to be on a show that looks good. And I figured ABC is going to put on a show that looks good. And I believe them when they said, you know, the JFK files, you know, that's what they wanted to talk about. So, you know, in retrospect, I wonder, you know, was that naive? You know, I didn't have high expectations, but I did have some expectations. So when I saw the show, I mean, you know, it's terrible. I mean, journalistically defunct, not balanced, out of date, inaccurate, you know, just like not even really trying to do anything else. And so the to see that and to be part of that at first part, you know, it's kind of dismaying because, you know, Oliver and Jim DiEugenio and I, you know, we were told that we were going to come on this show and talk about new JFK files. And they spent an hour with Oliver and Jim, and they spent at least an hour with me. And, you know, they didn't use it at all, really. I mean, they never really engaged with what we were saying. You know, most of the time is spent with Dale Meyer, a video animator, somebody who knows the case well, but whose recreation of the video recreation of the Dealey Plaza crime scene is out of date. And, you know, it wouldn't have been hard to discover that. And at a minimum, you know, compare what he did with the more recent version done by John Orr and Knight Labs. You know, that would have been the journalistically responsible thing for ABC News to do. And, you know, they didn't do that. And they didn't do that in a dozen different ways where you look for the obvious reporting that needs to be done. And they didn't do it. It was upsetting. But when I thought about it after a while, you know, I watched the show again because I thought I'd missed something. It went by too fast. You know, I was like, wait, I thought I was quoted on the show, and I went back to see, and yeah, I was quoted, you know,
3 seconds.
Yeah, you know, like I should time it and see what it was, because, you know, the comparison of how much time they spent with me to how much time they put me on the air, you know, it was pathetic. And, you know, I mean, and so I, when I went back and looked at it, I realized in a 2-hour show, I show up at 1:55. It's literally the last thing they wanted to talk about was the new JFK files.
Which is what they promoted this about, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but what they did, what they did makes it very clear. It's literally the last thing they want to talk about. So they feel the obligation to talk about it. And that's important. Like, so if you're going to have, you know, do poor journalism, not care about journalism, ignore the facts, ignore balance, ignore fairness, you know, then why put me on at all? Well, ABC News isn't stupid, right? They want to have a credible show. And if they do a show that makes no reference to the new files, they're not going to have a credible show. They're not stupid. They know that. That's why they invited us on. But they screwed us. You know, they used us as props as opposed to, you know, being sources for the show.
This ABC special will go down with the Peter Jennings special, the 1967 CBS special, and the 1964 NBC and CBS specials in the Hall of Infamy on this case. This show is a disgrace to those who follow the trail. And because of their wide access to irresponsible use of their TV license, can only be believed by the suckers who still watch America's pathetic version of the news on the main network channels. We'll see you next time. Those of you that have not purchased my book yet and would like to learn more about the assassination, drop me an email at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. And I will get you a personalized signed copy in the mail. It would make a great gift for anyone interested in the JFK assassination. It is an oversized coffee table style book that is over 500 pages and contains hundreds of pictures, most of them in vibrant color. I can promise you will not be disappointed in the book. The price is $60 for the hardcover and $40 for the softcover.